Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. Glad you could join us today. We're going to be talking about how to be comfortable with confrontation. Actually, I'm not sure you get to be comfortable with confrontation, but we're going to want to understand the roots of confrontation in conflict. We want to understand that when people have conflict, they generally have one of two primary concerns. They're concerned about the relationship, or they're concerned about the outcome. It depends on how badly I want it. If I'm mostly concerned about the outcome and don't care that much about the relationship, I'm going to be way more vehement. I'm going to push. I'm going to go to win. We call that a win-lose approach. But let's say I'm more concerned about the relationship. Well, I'm going to be more muted. I'm going to...
Good afternoon, and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio, where our topic today is one in a series of our shows for singles, people involved in dating. And it is dating advice, when the phone doesn't ring. And we're actually going to take it a little more broad than that today. I'm Kate Holmquist. I'm here with Rachel Zwell. We hope you're hearing us. We had a little bit of a technical thing at the beginning, so glad you've joined us and glad we have a caller and some questions contributing today. But here's what we're about today, and Rachel, you can fill in if I miss something. We want to deal with the inevitable situation that happens where you've gone on a date with someone and you think it was good and then they don't call. Or or you have to be the one making the decision about do I call, do I whatever. So kind of defining that the relationship after the date's happened, or defining the relationship in general. Like, how do you go about that conversation? Are there certain rules of the road to follow that help you preserve your dignity and self-respect, or whatever else your principles are? But those are the ones we talked about in kind of addressing the show for today. So we'll at least start there, how to navigate the waters after a date with dignity. Anything to add, Rachel?
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks, Kate. I see this really about gray area. For this topic, for me, I'm thinking about, you know, on a first date, from the moment that we see the other person, we're forming judgments in our mind. We're deciding already, you know, is this person, do they look like the person that I want to date? You know, do they have the kind of job, the kind of lifestyle? Are they, you know, how are they being with me? How does that feel? We're deciding this right away, and at the same time, the other person is deciding it. And there's really this set of unspoken rules that says that we're not going to talk about any of it.
Right, exactly. And, what you just mentioned, Rachel, is something we talk about in all of our trainings, especially the business-oriented and sales-oriented ones. You know, the research used to say that people have formed their judgments about you in the first 30 seconds or something, say, of a job interview. And then the next half hour to 45 minutes is spent uncovering data to justify that initial perception. Mm. That research has actually been thrown out, and now we know it's more like microseconds. In under a second,
wow,
we have an opinion formed of people. We could quote you numerous studies about how impressions are formed, and just the phenomenally small details
mm-hmm.
that form what we think about people. That being said, it makes it so ridiculous that we're waiting until like the day after the date to have a discussion by text, or, you know, talk it over with your girlfriends. What do I do? Is the next move mine? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're 24 hours removed from the really great data that you got on the date. So I think where we're probably going to wind up going is having more real-time awareness, discussion, open conversation,
yeah.
and engagement about what's really going on as you're meeting someone, no matter what context you meet them in, even if it's unclear whether it's a dating situation yet. There's even more need to sort of be alert to what's really happening with you, what your judgments are, what you love, what you hate, what you want.
Yeah, and as much as I agree with that, I'm just aware of how challenging it is for me, you know, the to be real in the moment, as well
yes.
as, you know, the, I've got this pattern of the end of the date's coming, you know, we're walking to the corner where we're going to split directions. What's going to happen? Does he say, let's do this again? Do I say it sometimes when I don't even mean it, out of my own discomfort with
yeah.
that moment?
Yeah.
Or do we just look at each other and say, bye?
Yes.
And there's this real, and I think part of that comes from, you know, not discussing and being real in the moment.
Right.
And at the same time, I don't want to downplay the challenge of, you know, being the challenge and the vulnerability of being with a person that, you know, you've just met and either saying, you know,
hopefully later mate, whatever.
Yeah, either saying I am interested in you or saying I'm not interested in you, as well as being on the receiving end. It's incredibly vulnerable, and I find it very challenging.
Yeah, it's way harder than picking an outfit or a fun plan for the date. Being who you are on the date is the name of the game.
Yeah,
top
yeah.
to bottom.
And as much as I think about it and work on it, which is way more than most, I'd say I get it right about 15% of the time.
I was going to say 10 for myself.
Yeah,
and
the rest of the
right
time
there.
I'm lying in some
yeah.
way. I'm
right.
I'm being false. I'm not being totally myself, or I'm saying something I don't mean, or I'm not saying what's on my mind, or it's tough.
Yeah. And the studies show that 100% of dating couples lie. So that's all of us all the time, and I think that's what we're here to do, is sort of break the myth of that's how it just has to be. I've seen it be otherwise. I think you have too, and you've played with different ways to get at this before that awkward final moment. And that's the principle in so much of the work we do is you know, to not build up to a situation that's going to be dramatic and irresponsible or explosive or hurtful in a way that could have just been having an honest conversation all the way up to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That had all those things in micro parts.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note, we've got a caller on the line. We have Dennis on the line, and he's asking, how do you tell another person that you want to be on a date rather than just hanging out? And he feels like it's a gray area. So, Dennis, I'd love to hear more.
Hi. So this probably more goes along the line of meeting in person rather than being on an online date, because if you use an online dating service, you're already kind of aiming for that date. So if you meet somebody new in person, how do you tell them you want it to be a date rather than just meeting up and hanging out? Because that's what people ask to do these days, I feel like.
Got it.
Yeah, I've heard it. So I kind of want to put the question back to you, Dennis. What have you tried, or What has worked, what hasn't worked in your experience?
Well, okay, so if you're a little too forward, sometimes people get scared off. So if I want to say, hey, I'd like to take you on a date somewhere, you know, you can't guarantee that their reaction is going to be yes right away. So hanging out, kind of asking people to hang out, makes it a lot easier for people to just say, oh, okay. I feel like, you know, because you're not being too forward, but I could be being kind of timid too at the same time. I'm a little shy, so it's
okay.
It's kind of hard to go straight for it if you know.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, and Dennis, you know, something that we talk about a lot here is really working on recognizing what's going on with ourselves in the moment when we make any decision and when we're interacting with other people. So I'm just putting myself in your shoes and imagining, you know, here's a woman I'm interested in, and I want to ask her on a date, and just how I'm going to feel if I ask, will you go on a date with me, versus, hey, you want to hang out sometime? You know, there's a big difference. It's a lot less vulnerable to say want to hang out sometime.
Right.
I decrease my chances of being rejected. That's avoidance of, you know, we're afraid, and we use that fear to avoid potential pain, which is really it's an evolutionary tactic that makes a lot of sense.
It does, and at the same time, with regard to the specific phrase, do you want to hang out? I feel like that's a known code for I like you in some way, and I'd want to you know, get to know you better in that way. Whereas, you know, if I have someone I've met in a business context, for example, the things I would say to them are, you know, would you like to grab a drink after work? Or, you know, I'd like to talk with you more about XYZ when we meet sometime. And I feel like that's the approach to take in dating more so. Honestly, as a woman, I don't feel honored, special. I wouldn't feel like I'm a potential romantic match for a man who said, do you want to hang out sometime, necessarily. You say to me, do you want to hang out? That feels a lot like, you know, I don't know. It feels like teeny bopper, 20-something casual, you know, let's Netflix and chill, basically. So I would just say, like, getting to the tactic, Rachel is saying it's a good way to reduce your fear. I guess I'm saying it shouldn't reduce your fear because that's exactly,
well,
it's totally known what that means.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't even exactly saying it's a good way to reduce your fear. I was just sort of saying notice the fear that we're trying to reduce. Notice what's going on with yourself when you're doing it.
That's the intent.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, the sort of the vague way of going about things. I'm really saying, like, there's, you know, there's positive intent there. You know, that's you trying to protect yourself from some hurt. And the more that you're aware of what you're doing, and, you know, you said you have, you said you're a little shy. The way that we look at things here is you've just got a habit of approaching life in that way. And that's something, you know, that can be shifted. So the more that you're aware that you tend to, you know, you tend to be a little indirect, leave gray area to sort of defensively protect yourself, the more you can, you know, make a conscious choice to take a risk to go for a more direct approach.
Mm-hmm. So what are you hearing, Dennis?
Oh, just go for it. I know you're correct. You know, it is kind of like an avoidance to kind of dull the rejection a little bit. But, you know, sometimes it works with people, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's more of a practice thing, you know.
Right. Well, the other piece of it, aside from noticing the emotions you're having and thinking about how to ask for the date, is I think to develop a practice of knowing what you want. You know, if what you want is to, like, have a special night on the town, you know, where you're, like, treating someone to some nice experience, like, for you to even let yourself begin to envision that that's what you might want with this person, would be a different exercise. Like, to just say, do you want to hang out sometime, doesn't even let you really get excited or think and dream about, like, oh, what might I enjoy with this person? Or, you know, what would be the ideal setting in which I would want to go out with them to get to know what I need to know about a person to know if I want to date them? You know, it just sort of assumes that you're either putting it out as a date to someone to accept or reject you, versus you being in the driver's seat or the buyer position saying, like, all right, here's a possible match. How would I want to, you know, be with this person? What kind of experience would I want with this person in order for me to determine, is this somebody I want to invest more deeply in?
Sure, if that makes sense to me.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I'm thinking
about... I think it's about communication.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Communicating intent, too, like, you know, just trying to be honest to yourself and honest to the other person. I mean, it's a little bit difficult when you meet this person for the first time. I feel like it might be easier if you've met them a couple times through mutual friends or something like that. But it's really just sort of focusing your intent on your words as well and making sure the two line up.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Dennis. And the thing that I'm thinking is, you know, another thing we've said here is that, you know, oftentimes early dates, you know, the first date tends to be more of like a meet and greet than an actual date. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's a little bit different when you're meeting someone online and you have never been with them in person. It's hard to know your impression even. But before we really get to know each other, there isn't anything wrong with having a little gray area. You know, I know you've talked about this, Kate. Like, I want you in my life somehow. You seem like you're a value add. Maybe you're going to work for us. Maybe you're going to be my friend. Maybe we're going to date. I don't know yet.
Yeah. And I think that's part of my standard sort of pattern on first date is like, you know, I don't assume that someone I meet from an online date is either dating or not. It's not a binary 1-0 type of thing. It's like, oh, wow, you just came into my life for some purpose. Maybe it's just to entertain me on this Thursday evening for this hour of coffee. I don't know. But I don't rule anything out. So I actually think the gray zone is much broader than we want to acknowledge.
Yeah, and I think there's another piece about, like, just sort of being with our own discomfort in the gray zone. And that piece that you just said, Dennis, about communication in that zone. And that's where I personally am challenged, is to be in that gray zone and to say what's true for me. And, like, I'm not sure what I want here, and, you know, I think it would be, maybe you're someone I actually legitimately want to be friends with. I'm not great at being friends with guys who I've been on a date with, but I'd like to be better. Or maybe it's, you know, to just have that conversation, I think is, you know, where the discomfort really is for me.
Agreed.
What do you think about that, Dennis?
Yeah. No, I totally understand. I'm might be better at being friends with somebody that I've gone on one or two dates on, you know, and if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But I take a pretty relaxed approach to spending time with people and getting to know them. So, I mean, the way I word hanging out, it also reflects my personality a little bit, in that I just take it easy. If there's no pressure, then why worry, I guess. But I think that's also part of the problem.
How so? Can you say a little bit more? About it being part of the problem?
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally missed that. I think just being too relaxed about it might be an issue, you know, because then my intent isn't really put forward. So, you know, making sure things are clear from the get-go is really important. But I think you just have to go through that and then deal with rejection as you go along, because that's naturally going to happen. I think that's the part I suppose I'm most scared of. But, I mean, I think that's just a natural reaction for most people.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, I think the beautiful part of this is I'm all in favor of you communicating your intent. But it's not so much about that being for the other person so that they feel clear about what you want or you're after. It's totally for you. Like, there's a part of this whole dating game that is just an exercise in you getting in touch with your wants, your yearnings, and, you know, your ability to make those things happen in your world, for you to be in any situation and go, do I like this? Am I satisfied with this? What would I want differently? Dating is a huge playground for that, so... Yes to communicating your intent more clearly, but it starts with you knowing your intent more clearly and your wants and your own deep, you know, yearnings of your heart. So, yeah.
Well, it's good information to keep in mind. You kind of have to remember that it's about you as much as more than almost than it would be necessarily the other person, right from the get-go at least, you know.
Yeah, it's better for you to be on a date as your full self and get rejected embarrassingly, fall flat on your face, make mistakes, you know, have it all blow up, being your real self, than to have someone fall in love with the false self you've presented and then have to deal with unraveling that, you know, false front you've put out and go back to square one and say, who are we really?
Yeah, and that ties into our whole real approach to dating and singlehood and relationships here. It's just that, you know, me dating is for me, and it's really about who I can be and you know, and me getting satisfied and me learning and growing. And really, you know, the viewpoint that, you know, I want to be, you know, leading a whole and complete life on my own and looking for others to contribute to me and who I can contribute to. And sort of with that approach in mind, it's really like all of this is for me. So when I'm on a date and I'm thinking, you know, I actually have goals around telling the truth about the next date, because I've, you know, sometimes I lie to be nice. And I still do after doing personal development work for 2 years, I still lie at the end of the dates to be nice sometimes. So I have, actual goals around it. But it's not because I'm worried about the consequences and repercussions of, you know, the harm I could do to this other person if I lie to them. It's really for me. It's because I value being more genuine and truthful and upfront with everyone in my life and the quality of relationship that'll bring me. So I'm really using dating as a playground to become more of who I want to become with other people.
Thanks, Rachel. And thanks, Dennis, for calling in.
Sure. Absolutely. My pleasure.
How it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, I will.
Great. Great. Thanks,
right,
Dennis.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, the principle of being who you are fully wherever you are is one that I think is unique to our approach to relationships as opposed to any other, the rules, catch him and keep him. You know, there are
Keep him wanting, exactly.
Don't be too needy. Millions of people out there who will give you advice about how to manipulate and manage someone into having affection for you, wanting the next date, et cetera. And, you know, we teach in social intelligence, but we don't teach people how to, we will talk about how to manage and regulate your own emotional expression to have a more effective outcome in the world. But there's this fine line in dating of like, I really don't want to be working on managing someone who's going to be like my partner in life from date one, moment one.
Yeah. And for me, that's a moment by moment challenge is like, oh, I notice I'm giggling a lot when I, you know, what is that?
Cause what's happening with you?
Yeah, sometimes I'll have a moment with people I'm very close and comfortable with, and I just think, you know, this happened the other day, the day after a date, and I thought, wow, why am I not this version of myself on dates? I wasn't doing anything crazy or weird, but I was being differently because I was in my comfort zone and I was really being myself.
Right.
And so part of my work is to be that self around the, you know, the same version of myself that I am when I'm comfortable.
Yep.
If to be able to do that with people that I'm not so comfortable with, because I want to be myself everywhere. It's just a lot more fun.
Well, and you kind of painted a picture of like, oh, here I was being a version of myself that I more enjoyed than on my dates. I've been through phases where it feels the total opposite, where I'm going on dates and I'm feeling like a bitchy, judgy, you know, bitch, for lack of a better word. And I get to sit there and sort of confront my own discomfort with, God, I was really bitchy. I really was not seeing anything good in this man. Like, he was barely a human being with any potential in my eyes in that 45 minutes. But that is an element of me. That is an element of the real me that someone who's dating me should probably know about. Because it's not just, you know, when I'm on a date. There is that part of me that I get to keep working on integrating more effectively, more powerfully.
Yeah.
That judgy woman inside serves a purpose. When I'm leading, coaching, you know, navigating tricky situations, I need that aspect of me. It's not what I want to lead with, but, you know, I can either go, God, I was so bitchy on that date, or I can be like, I was totally me, bitchiness and all, on that date. That was great. And that's been fun for some people to engage with. And some people are like, God, I don't, you know, that happened this summer in one case where I just laid out a judgment in the first words that occurred to me, and the person later was like, that really hurt, and I'm not going to subject myself to that anymore. Good luck with your life. And I felt like, great, because that's the type of thing you're going to get from me if you're my friend, if you're dating me, if you're working for me. That thing there is going to happen, and a person who's going to play with me is not just going to walk away from the date and then come back later and say, I don't deal with that. That person's going to say in the moment, ouch, that really hurt. Did you mean this or did you mean that? And we would tussle and have a dialogue on it.
Yeah.
It was hugely refining in terms of what my principles in life are.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings it all back to the fact that, you know, we're doing this for ourselves. At the same time, as you know, I would like to be married someday. I would like to have a partner in my life. So it's this dance between like I am dating to learn and grow from it myself, to be the person that I want to be and to have these experiences. And I also am looking to meet somebody who matches me and who's interested in all of me. You know, the giggling, positive, fun, yeah. And then also, like, you know, where my bitchiness, my judgments, it's you don't have to love every part of me, but being interested in me as a whole human, you know, in all parts and in knowing all parts and engaging with all parts, right. Even if they're not the parts you like, that's necessary for me, and it sounds like it is for you, too.
Yeah, well said. So if we kind of get down to brass tacks about how to, I'll use the word manage now, but how to kind of be with those gray areas. What I've found is the earlier you can do it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in not having that awkward moment at the end, what you have to do is have the awkward moments all along the way in the date.
Yeah.
Like, this is something I've actually had to sort of rehearse for myself, the way to ask the question mid-date. It's some version of, how do you think it's going?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. How do you think we're doing? You know.
Now, do you ask that even if you think it's not going well?
Sometimes it's even more fun when it's not going well. How do you think this is going? the Valentine's Day date that we've talked about a couple times, or Valentine's Day observed date last year. You know, it was a way of just, it's not a super proud moment for me, but it was just sort of a chance for me to begin to say what I was not liking
mm-hmm.
about it, but I wanted to hear his take first to see if he had any awareness that this was not going so well.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I've had the question asked on me and been surprised. You know, we're making a transition from one place to another, and he says, I think this is going great. What do you think? And it kind of caught me off guard. So I wasn't sure it was going great, but it's an interesting conversation. So I don't think that's a right specific tactic. Obviously, other people are using it there. But as we were saying at the beginning, I prefer the mini moments of awkwardness throughout. I want to be the one that's asking it first on the date. I want to be asking it before the end of the date. If I'm liking it, I'm going to come out with a specific suggestion about a thing we could do to follow up, because it's going to be from how we engaged in the conversation. And I'm fine to be the first one to ask after the date. There's no rule for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and again, it's sort of I've refined my toolkit of things to ask to say, you know, I had a great time. Think you're a class act. Is the ball in your court or mine? You know.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I love the clarity as well as the sort of, you know, naming an openness about the awkward gray area. Like, we're in this gray area.
Yeah.
We haven't decided whether we liked each other. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, and it's made for some of the most fun dates. When I've just sort of stopped the action, I maybe haven't said, you know, well, how do you think it's going? But I've said something like, you know what, I'm really having trouble meeting your eyes right now. Like, it's really sort of frustrating to not be able to get eye contact with you. I can't feel how this is going. And then have a person just absolutely sort of like, you know, shift, shape up, and like maintain great direct eye contact with me for the rest of the date and be like, wow, I had no idea I was doing that. And like, it feels so much better. And so, you know, that's what I want from people in my life, is that kind of engagement. So I'm just kind of, you know, I benefit. I have better dates. You know, like some of them that I didn't think were salvageable become salvageable by taking that moment for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
People want to, it sounds strange to say it, but people want to please each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You want to have somebody across from you sort of light up, and when you're on a first date situation, you know, they may be willing to shift right there.
Yeah, and it's related to so many other situations in life, you know. I'm in a bad meeting, or I'm, you know, on a sales call that I don't like and don't want to be on. You know, I have a choice to zone out and wait for it to be done,
yeah.
Or I can fully engage with, you know, with those pieces that I don't like. In the sales call, sometimes I stand up in my chair and I get, you know, more life in me. In a meeting, I can name what's going on that I don't like and that I want to be different about it. forward and how the meeting is not serving the purpose. Or, you know, and that might take longer. It may, you know, and it also is a greater risk. It's a little bit vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in all, like, I'm going to come out of that sales call, that date, that meeting, more satisfied with myself and with my life than if I'm to sit through, sit through dissatisfied or sort of, I don't know, and
yeah.
I don't know how I feel, and wait for things to be over.
We do the same thing around here with interviews. We'll give feedback to our candidates in the interview and see how they respond rather than just taking our opinions afterwards and, you know, making our own decision. So engagement is really a good principle to underline.
Yeah, full engagement in dating.
Yeah.
Full engagement in the gray area. 50
like
shades
it.
Of gray.
We're back there.
Again.
I think we'll leave it there.
Well, thank you so much for listening, for calling in. We'll be back again for another dating show in 2 weeks. And we do want to invite all of our Chicago listeners to join us in person at our Foundations Weekend Training, a social and emotional intelligence workshop that we do in downtown Chicago. Our next one is coming up from January 15th to 17th. And you can find that at foundationsweekendtraining.com. So thanks so much for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.